World Cup Talk. Christina here with the storylines that matter most in football today. The United States did not just go out of this World Cup. They changed the emotional shape of the tournament on the way out. For days, the American story had been about noise, belief, balagun, pressure, and whether a home region team could turn all of that into something real against Belgium. Now the answer is much harsher. Belgium are through, the U.S. are out, and what felt like a rising North American football moment suddenly looks fragile again. That is the real mood change today. Yesterday, the question was whether the contenders could turn emotion into execution. Today, the question is, which teams and stars actually changed the tournament, and which ones are merely living inside the noise? For me, that is why the U.S. exit has to lead the show. Not only because it matters in America, but because it exposes one of the hardest truths in knockout football. Energy is not authority. Excitement is not control. The United States carried atmosphere, pressure, and a sense of occasion into this match. But Belgium looked more like a team that understood how to live inside big moments without being swallowed by them. If you are an American listener, that is the painful part. The loss hurts, but the bigger question is whether this team was actually ready to own a night of this weight. That is where the tension actually is. And there is a very human face to that story. Fuller and Balogun had already become a symbol before the ball was kicked because the whole conversation around him had turned into a mix of controversy, hope, and expectation. Mauricio Pochettino had become another face of the pressure because a host region quarterfinal is exactly the kind of match where a coach gets judged not for ideas, but for command. Honestly, that is what makes this more than a result. Balogun was carrying the emotional optimism. Pochettino was carrying the credibility question. Belgium did not just beat the U.S., they made both of those burdens feel heavier. That matters more than the scoreline. The tactical lesson is not especially glamorous, but it is important. Belgium's progress appears to have come from the thing this tournament has been rewarding more and more: structure under stress. We have spent days talking about emotion around the U.S., and fairly so, but knockout football becomes brutally simple when the temperature rises. Can you slow the game down when it needs slowing? Can you survive the wave? Can you make the decisive choices without letting the occasion rush you? Belgium looked closer to that version of themselves than the United States did. I think that is what people are underestimating. This was not only an American collapse story. It was a reminder that serious teams look calmer than the room around them. That is the real warning sign. There is another layer here, and it is why today does not feel like a standard post-match episode. Multiple reports pointed to backlash building around FIFA in the wake of this result cycle, and Reuters also focused on the pressure now sitting on referees, calling them the hidden runners of the tournament. Put those things together, and you get something bigger than one controversial football conversation. You get a World Cup where trust is becoming part of the spectacle. Supporters are no longer only asking who played well. They are asking whether the game, the officiating, and the tournament management feel convincing enough for the size of the moment. Once that starts happening, every big decision gets louder. That is why this story is bigger than it looks. And I actually think the referee angle matters, because it humanizes a part of football people usually discuss like a machine. Referees at a World Cup are not invisible systems. They are people trying to keep pace physically and mentally while the whole planet judges them in real time. That does not excuse mistakes, and it should not. But it does explain why the atmosphere around decisions now feels so raw. In a tournament already full of stars, legacy, and host country pressure, the officials have become characters too. That is where the pressure spread really shows up. Now, if the U.S. exit changed the emotional map of the tournament in North America, The other huge shift today is who gets to own the stage next. Argentina and Lionel Messi have moved right into that space. Fresh coverage in this cycle framed Argentina's progress as another Messi miracle story. And whether you like that wording or not, it captures something real about the tournament moment. Messi is no longer just one superstar among many. With Brazil gone, with the U.S. gone, and with so much noise around the host experience, his matches start to feel even more like shared global events. Every step forward becomes part football result, part legacy theater. That is why listeners should care. What makes Messi such a strong podcast story is that he gives the tournament a human center of gravity. The bracket is full of systems, coaching plans, and tactical vocabulary, but one man can still change the emotional temperature of the entire competition. When Messi plays, the question is not only whether Argentina are good enough. The question is whether the tournament is willing to become his stage for one more round. For me, that is the part that keeps dragging everyone's attention back toward him. It is not nostalgia alone. It is the feeling that history is still available in real time. That is why the legacy lane remains so powerful. And that connects directly to the host country story. One of the more interesting pieces in today's cycle looked at America's World Cup experience through a symbolic lens. And even if that kind of feature is softer than a hard match report, it lands differently on a day like this. The United States are out, and suddenly the American part of this World Cup is not being defined by a run. It is being defined by the atmosphere around the run, the commercial face of the event, the friction around governing bodies, and the sense that the host nation still has not fully turned football centrality into football authority. That sounds harsh, but I think it is fair. This tournament is being staged in North America. Yet after this loss, the strongest remaining emotional owners of the competition may once again be the established global powers. That is the bigger host region question. So where does that leave the rest of the field? It leaves the tournament leaning even harder toward proven closers. We already knew Kylian Mbappé carried a larger symbolic share of the World Cup after Brazil went out. Today, that idea gets stronger, not weaker. Messi is still magnetizing the bracket. Mbappé still represents the sharper, colder future of it. And every team still alive now has to deal with a tournament atmosphere that feels less forgiving and more defining by the day. If you cannot calm the room, you probably cannot win the cup. That is the standard now. The key thing to watch next is not just who advances. It is who makes the tournament feel different when they do. Can Belgium turn composure into real contender status rather than just U.S. heartbreak? Can Argentina keep feeding the messy sense of destiny without becoming dependent on it? Can the officials in FIFA get through the next wave of scrutiny without becoming the story again? Those are the questions that actually matter coming out of today. The United States gave this World Cup energy, noise, and a host country pulse. Belgium gave it a hard football verdict. Messi and the other elite closers now inherit the emotional space that result opened up. And from here on, the tournament belongs to the teams and people who can carry pressure without letting pressure carry them. See you tomorrow.